Second Chronicles 7, 14 and 15. If tonight, if God is omniscient, which He is, which means that God has total knowledge of everything, everything, then why does God require me to pray in order to do for me what He knows I need? Think about that. I mean, if He already knows, why is it necessary that I tell Him? He's omniscient. He has total knowledge of everything. He's omnipresent, which means He is every place. So He is where I am, even in my sin. He's not participating, but He's still there. Yet God will not move until I pray, petition Him. Yet He is a loving God, but it's something about your voice that moves God. The Bible declares, where Jesus says that my sheep know my voice. He's also implying that if the sheep knows His voice, then He also knows your voice. So it must be something in when you speak words. Words to you and I are sometimes just common. But everything you say, you speak into existence. When you speak a word, you give the word a spirit. So when you say, doggone it, that would never happen, you're releasing that faith that that would never happen. When you say this is impossible, you're releasing the faith in which you're saying that's impossible. You have to be careful about what you say. The Bible declares that life and death is in the power of the tongue. James didn't talk about your tongue because he says that little thing in your mouth. Lots of things we can't control, but that little thing in your mouth, you cannot take. The problem with the tongue is that the tongue manifests what's in the heart. Every now and then a person will say something and say, I didn't mean to say that. You did. You just forgot that you're supposed to cover it up at that moment. But your heart, your spirit doesn't lie. And so when it's in you and it comes up, that's me right there. That's me. Now every now and then it may come up in the wrong place, but I still gotta own it because that's me. Our problem is that we act like we are so sanctified that we just got it all together. We act like when something happens instantly, oh, God's going to work it out and I'm just believing Him. That's not real. When something happens in your life, the right thing or the wrong thing, I don't care how long you've been in the church, or how long church been in you, baby, you're going to take a step back. If the right thing hits you in the right place, you're going to be scared. I don't care about your faith. It doesn't cancel out faith, but it takes you a minute to get the thing together. You have to constantly work on your faith. You have to walk your faith out. And so because you have to walk your faith out, God is allowing us to come together in this place called a church. We come together here so that we can assemble together, so that like-minded people can petition God for like-minded things. But everybody in the church is not praying for you. There are some people that is coming to church, sitting next to you, but do not want to see your life change. And the moment they see change in your life, they begin to hate on you. I'm still talking about the church folk right now. See, in the club, it's cool, dude. Tell me how you did that. And the club folks can get it together. But us church folk, we don't have it yet. The club folk can share a cigarette and share a joint and share some liquor together. But us church folks, us sanctified folks, I'm sorry if you don't have any food, but I only got enough for myself. When God blesses you, He blesses you to be a blessing. You'll never see God until you first learn how to release. What you have is not for you.
Amen.
Solomon understood that. Solomon said, God, I want to build you a house. He says, I'm tired of you living in the thickness of the dark. I want to have a house built for you. And God is saying, well, who are you to build a house for me? Now, in biblical days, they didn't have churches. They had what's called a tabernacle. That is a tent, something that you can move about. And so the presence of God was in like a little box, a little trunk or something. And they would carry God around on their back. And so this little box that God symbolically dwelled in, this was the holy of holy places. Solomon said, I'm tired of carrying God from point A to point B. God, I'm going to build you a house. I'm going to build you a church. Now, I know my dad, David, Bathsheba, you know David. David wanted to build God a house, but God said, now, David, you ain't right to build me a house. Because you may have Bathsheba and Gloria and everybody else sleeping over. So I don't want you to do that. I'll just wait. You got to be careful sometimes about people who offer to do a good thing but for a bad reason. Everybody that is trying to help you doesn't have pure motives. Sometimes people want to help you today so that they are positioned tomorrow to get it back. You have to know the people that you are hanging around. You have to pray and ask God for discernment.
Yes.
And so Solomon said, God, I'm going to build your house. Moving on. So he says, God, I'm going to build your house. And then as he began to build God a house, his first thing was, let me pray to God. He spent all of chapter number 6, and you got to read this thing when you get home. He spent all of chapter number 6 praying to God. Now look at chapter number 6, verse number 8. Chapter number 6, verse number 8. You see that? You got it? You got it? Somebody read it.
But the Lord said to David, my father, for as much as it was in thine heart to build a house for my name, thou didst well in that it was in thy heart.
He meant well. David meant well. David wanted to build a house for God. He says his heart was right, but he wasn't right. See, sometimes your motives are really pure. But God says, you need to repent before you come in my presence. Mm. You see, that's why it's so important when you come to church that you understand the build up of church. That's why when you come to church, the first thing that you run into is not a preached word, but it's praise that moves you into worship that gets you ready for a word.
Yeah.
Because you gotta shed some stuff as you begin to walk into the presence of God.
Amen.
So he says his heart was right. Now look at verse number 14. Read verse number 14, please.
And said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven, nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts.
Now, the reason that I want you to read this is this. I want you to understand it is at this point that Solomon began to pray. The rest of chapter number 6, he's just praying. Okay? You got to get chapter number 6 in order when I introduce you to 7:14, you then understand it. So he begins to pray. And he says in verse number 17, Now then, O Lord of Israel, let thy word be verified. In other words, you say amen to my prayer. When you can't get no one to pray with you, you need to understand that the Holy Spirit is still with you.
Amen.
So you don't pray to God by yourself. That's why he says when two or three is gathered together, baby, I don't need you to pray with me because I'm there and the Holy Spirit is there and the Holy Spirit will say amen to everything that I'm praying about. And you may not like what I'm believing God for, but that's all right because God deals with every man or woman according to the measurement of your faith. If you can't believe it, don't hinder me.
Thank you, Lord.
See, sometimes people get mad with you because you believe God for more than they believe. Look at her. She got her own business. Who she think she is? Just a believer. That's all I am. Look at her. She doing this, living that, driving this. Who you think you are? I'm a child of God that's believing in my Father. What's your problem? If you start believing, then God will do the same thing because the Bible declares that God has no respect of person. What he does for one, he'll do the same for another. The problem is, don't look for your blessings to look like mine because you don't need what I need and I don't need what you need. Thank God he knows exactly what I need. He knows exactly where I am and he can do something about it. He knows how to meet my need. Have you ever found yourself stuck somewhere and man couldn't meet your need? Won't God meet your need? He's a need meeting God. He's a need meeting God. So Solomon begins to with this prayer. And as he continues with this prayer, look at verse number 37. Interesting. He says, yet if they bethink themselves in the land where they are called or carried captive and turn and pray. In other words, he says, even when I go somewhere that I'm not supposed to be in, if I repent right there, God still show up. I don't know what you're going through tonight, but I came to encourage somebody. It may not look good. It may not look the way you want it to look. It may look like a dead end. It may look like a one way, but you keep on walking in faith, and one day God will flip the script in your life, and he will turn that thing around. You don't need permission from a friend for God to flip the script in your life. Have you ever been going the wrong way and all of a sudden God stepped in your life and you know you were wrong, but he still took that thing for you? Don't he do it? God has a way of flipping the thing. It doesn't look like it's possible, but he turned it anyway.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, in chapter number 7, verse number 1, watch this now. Now when Solomon had made an end of what?
Praying.
Now he's done praying. He spent chapter number 6 praying. Now you're introduced to chapter number 7. And chapter number 7, verse 1 says, now Solomon finished with his prayer. Now, I always tell you, and I said earlier, always tell God what he told you. Here, God flips the script. God says to Solomon in 7:14, He says, I know what you told me in chapter number 6. I know what you prayed for in chapter number 6. He said in verse number 14, he says, let me summarize that thing for you. Let me make sure I'm clear as to what you want me to do. Now, what you want me to do and what you just said to me is that if my people, yeah, that's what I said to you, which are called by my name, yeah, that's what I said to you, because it don't make a difference where you go. He said, but if you call by my name, he says, if you humble yourself and pray and seek my face. In other words, I don't care where you are, don't be embarrassed, don't be ashamed, don't let nobody tell you the mess that you in, that he can't make a miracle out of it. So he says, seek my face. When you begin to seek his face, he says, then you gotta turn from your wicked ways. See, when you turn, he says, then I will. Not a choice. He says, I will hear from heaven. Now, I found that interesting that God is saying, then I will hear from heaven. But notice what he's doing is he has a summation of what Solomon said. He wasn't saying, I, God, need to hear from heaven. He said, I'm God, I am heaven. But he says, I want to make sure that you want me to speak to you. Because quite often when we pray, I tell God, but I don't hang around for God to tell me. So Solomon's saying, the wisest man, in order for you to have wisdom, wisdom comes from God. So I got to hang around and see what you said about the matter. See, what I want may not be what God has in store for me.
Amen.
Sometimes I may want the house, but God is saying, but you can't afford that. But if you wait upon the Lord, he says, I give you one over here, bigger, better, and a less mortgage payment. See, sometimes you really have to wait on the Lord, and when you're really waiting on the Lord, you got to believe that God is up to something. See, God is always moving, but he always wants us to pray because he loves to hear the sound of our voice. So what is it about your voice that God wants to hear or likes to hear? I want to point something out to you, and I want to take voice, V-O-I-C-E, and I want to deal with that in the last 10 minutes or so that I have tonight to minister to you. Voice. That is the V. When David says this in verse number 14, he says, if my people that are called, in other words, he's saying, you are called. You are the chosen vessel. That's the V. That you are a vessel. That what is inside of you, vessel, is exactly what God placed inside of you. So how can you dislike yourself because you're 5 pounds overweight and God is saying, I put that weight there. How can you dislike yourself if you're short? God said, I put that shortness there. God created you just the way he wants you because your life, Mr. Vessel or Miss Vessel, is a living testimony to the goodness of God. You did say have your way, right?
Amen.
Lord, have your way. And God is saying, okay, I want you to minister to this type of person or that type of person. But God, I don't want to look like that. And I don't want to do this. And God is saying, I'm not thinking about how you look on the outside. Baby, let me see your heart on the inside. And if you run across a fool who is judging you based off what you look like on the outside, you need to run from him or her anyway. Because certainly it's more to you than what the eyes see. Vessel. He says, you are a chosen vessel. V. You're a chosen vessel. The O. Now notice what he says. Now you got to watch this. He says, if my people which are called, in other words, a vessel, by my name, shall humble themselves. Humble, O, is to come in obedience to God. The O is obedience. That is, when God calls you, you got to surrender all to him. When you are fully in obedience to God, you understand that God is in control of your life. God is in charge of your life. God is being Lord of your life. Now, how can a God who created you allow you to go wrong? Even in your sins, he says, I'm right there. Even if you make your bed in hell, he says, I'm right there. You can't go so far to the west or to the east, he says, you can't even get around me. When God calls you, you better believe you can't outrun your blessing. So you don't have to worry about what somebody else is doing. You have to focus on your own stuff. Amen. Just stay obedient to what God is calling you to do. So he says, humble themselves and pray. And then he says, and seek. The I is instructions. When he says, seek my face, he says, you got to come to me like a little child. Sit down and wait for my instructions. See, prayer is not a monologue. Prayer is not me talking to God and that's it. It's a dialogue. I talk to him. He talked back to me. He may not say, hey, can you go left or right? But the gentleness of the Holy Spirit directs my path. The gentleness of the Holy Spirit begins to order my step. I don't know why I went down A Street, but I later found out down B Street, it was a car accident. God is ordering your step. It's instructions that we wait for. When you wait upon the Lord and God begins to instruct you, the first thing that God will always do is show you the person you don't want to see. He'll always show you you and say, turn from your wicked ways. In turning, what he is saying, the C, is that I have to lead you to confession. Yeah, you prayed to me, but I want to talk to you. Now, before we talk about the blessings and the new car and the new house, can we talk about the sin last night? Oh, God. See, you have to confess and get it clean before you can go any further. Let me take you back to chapter number 7, verse number 2. Watch this. Verse number 2. And the priests, talking about the preacher, and the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord. That's the house that Solomon built. He said the priests couldn't enter because the glory of the Lord had filled whose house? The Lord's house. Now jump back up to verse number 1. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, what came down? Which represents the presence of God. That's why it's so important, folks, that you don't come to church at 7 or 10:15 or 10:20. Because if you miss praise and worship, you miss when the fire comes down. You miss when God shows up. And so there you are cold trying to come into a house, a hot house, and you wonder why I just didn't get it. Because you were late.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
When you begin to build the fire, I know y'all city folks, y'all don't know anything. When you begin to build the fire, you have to put everything on at the same time. And everything just kind of blazes up together. You know? So the praise has to begin and then it gets a little hot, a little warm. And then the worship begins. You have to remove your jacket. And then the word comes forth. Then your makeup begins to be removed as well. But I don't care because the fire of the Lord is in this place. I don't care what I look like because I know that He is here in this place. And see, what Solomon understood is, God, if I build you a house where God dwells, and he says, I'm going to dwell in my church today. So when you come into church, you need to understand between you and the person to your left, to your right, is God. God says, I'm right there. How would you respond if God was sitting next to you? Would you doubt his existence? Would you doubt that he's able. Don't think about it, but the next air that you breathe, he's alive. He's alive. And what you worry about is what can your enemies do to you? If God wants you dead, he would have took you out a long time ago. They may want you dead, but what they mean for evil,
God
meant
for good.
God meant for good.
Thank you, Lord.
He says, no weapon
there's
a one against you.
Prosper.
You see it being formed. You know they're lying over you. You know they're talking about you. That's all right. That won't prosper. If I can see it, it won't happen. It's when you can't see it that you must be disconnected from God and you're not discerning. But as long as I can see it, I'm in the right relationship. I'm abiding in him and he's abiding in me. And so God, what I need is for you to instruct me on how to walk this thing out. As you begin to instruct me, you lead me into confession. When you lead me into confession, and now I'm clean, I have the righteousness of God, he says, now, if you humble yourself, let your ego go, come down, and let me work it out. He says, now, if you humble yourself, he says, and forgive. Let me pin that, forgive. I don't forgive you for you. I forgive you because I ain't got time for you. I'm not going to continue to carry what you tried, not did, what you tried to do to me. I'm not going to continue to carry that because it didn't work. Now why should I miss heaven, hit hell for not forgiving you? I'm thinking about you. That's what he wants us to understand. It's about forgiveness. What he's saying is that forgiveness is a release. When I am released from the things that I have done and people have done to me, the E in voice is exhortation. I'm free from that matter. He says, now when you become free of something, you can lift me up. You can give me some praise. You don't have to worry about coming in the church and the church find out what you did last night. I know what I did last night. I participated in it. I know. But thank God I can come to the altar and leave it there. I know what I did. See, but if I beat you to the altar before you can tell it, if I can confess it, you may still tell it, but God still has a hedge of protection around it. It's not that God doesn't judge sin. It's your confession you judging yourself. So if I'm judging me, I don't care what you think. You can't judge me. So he says, once you're free, your mind, your spirit is free. He says, now you're in a place where you can lift up the name of the Lord. He says, give me the praise. He says, when you begin to give him the praise, listen to what he says. He says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. And when he says heal your land, he's talking about restoration. Every time you go through something, every time sin is in your life, you lose something. You lose something if you don't lose anything but yourself, but your character, but your integrity. You lose something.
Amen.
God is saying when you come through that thing, you confess of it, he says, I'll restore that. So the stuff that was hanging over your head, he says, you're free from that. That's what God says about you. The issue is, do you receive that from him? Are you still allowing people to beat you up? Because of what you used to be. And because of what still pops up in your life, sometimes now. There are some things in your life, and please don't leave the church tonight. There are some things in your life that you'll never get away from. There are some some sins in your life you will never get away from. It has nothing to do with the sins being stronger than God. It has to do with we are human beings and we like them. I'm serious.
Amen.
Because the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If I wanted to come out of them, I would. I like them. Well, how can you like sin? Same way you do. See, let me say this in closing. We are created, we are born from the bloodline of Adam. That's a sinful bloodline. So my first daddy says, love sin. Adam. He says, love sin. Feels good. Go ahead and do it. You grown, by the way. You live on your own. You pay your own bill. I'm a whole man. You're your own woman. Do what makes you happy. That's how your first daddy talked to you. And you say, well, I'll just do it this one time. Because God is a forgiving God. So within you, your mind, it's warfare. Good and evil. Because your first dad to say, like it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus stretched forth on the old rugged cross, the second Adam. He says, you know, turn away from that stuff. So while I'm in the spirit, I have a desire to turn away from it. When I'm out of the spirit, I run to that stuff. Don't get holy. I'm talking about all of us.
Amen.
And if you are sitting here tonight and you think that you are beyond sin, you should have died on the cross for me. We all got some stuff. We all are dealing with some stuff. That's just who we are. See, if we could get it right, there would not be a need for Jesus to have came. He came for the lost. You and I. Because we were headed in one direction and we were in desperate need for him to rewrite the story of our life. Because the script that was out for us was that he was born, he lived, and he deserved hell. Jesus said, give me the ink pen. Let me take the blood and let me rewrite that script in the book of life. So he took your script and he flipped it. He says, I know where you were headed, but I can flip that thing and I can bring it to me.
Thank you, Lord.
That's what he did for us.
Thank you, Lord.
That's what he did for us. We were going to hell. Real fast. Real strong. Real smart. And he flipped it. He says, understand that you're a vessel. I'm building you. And with a vessel, every now and then, he gets out of shape. So he has to take his hands and place them on you and get you back right. Sometimes it's a little painful. But he says, but I love you. Once you understand that you're a vessel, he says, now I made you, I created you. Come into obedience to my word. When you obey his word, he says there's a lot of things that you're headed for, you get to avoid. While you're in obedience, understand that I'm going to instruct you. Instructions. I'm going to tell you along the way. When you pray to me, he says, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to instruct you. When he begins to instruct you, he first will lead you into repentance. confession. He wants you to purify, clean yourself. And then he says, now that you're minded, exhort. Give him some life. God is flipping the script.
Thank you, Lord.
He's flipping the script. If my people that are called by my name,
thank you, Lord,
will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, not until, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Listen to verse number 15 in closing. Now, God says, now that you pray, he says, now our eyes shall be open and our ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. In this place. The Bible declares, seek not the steps of the assembly of the saints. He says, come together. Two or three is gathered together in my name. He says, there I am in the midst. Would you stand tonight as we wrap this night? I want to talk to that person that is here tonight. That perhaps is not sure about your relationship. God. I want to talk to that person tonight that if you die tonight, do you know where you're going? Why do you come into church and not accept the God that the church is representing? I mean, if you don't have any place to go, just go to the football game, go to the basketball game, go to the club, or stay at home. It has to be more than I just feel like going to church. There's something that's pulling me to church. Something. I bet if you relax and just let go and just let God have his way, I bet what you'll discover is that emptiness that is inside of you. God is saying, come. With everyone tonight. Not sure. Come on, brother. Change. Give me another dimension.